pick a boy born and raised in New Jersey on Springsteen, and a Southern California beach bum raised in the 60s, and what do you get? Do What You Like with Tom Cavanaugh and Bob Telford. Our guest today has been very busy, to say the least. She's an American radio broadcaster of Hungarian ancestry. She's a morning radio personality at WLTW FM 106.7 Light FM in New York City, which, by the way, is New York City's highest rated radio station. She's been a traffic reporter, a member of the Z Morning Zoo on sister station Z100. She's also an actress appearing in independent films, theatrical productions, performing in the off-Broadway play Tony and Tina's Wedding, among a few Broadway shows. She's also worked as a news and entertainment reporter at New York City's top-rated station. She co-hosts WLTW's weekday morning show with Karen Carson. Along with her morning show duties, she tapes interviews in the half-hour community program titled Get Connected. The show airs Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. Now, if this isn't enough, she also hosts lifestyle-oriented shows for Martha Stewart Living Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio. She works with Stewart's beauty editor, Elizabeth Graves, interviewing guests for lifestyle topics. And it don't stop there, folks. She had her own dating themed show at Caroline's Comedy Club called Hooking Up with Christine Nagy, which we got to talk about that. She did that for 2 years. She co-created that show with her brother, Charles, who's a writer and musician. The show featured popular comedians. She lives in New Jersey, the same state as her alma mater, Montclair State University, where she studied broadcasting. Please welcome to Do What You Like, Christine Nagy. Christine, welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks, Bob. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, Tommy, kick it off,
will you? Great to have you. So, Christine, so the show, we are so focused on people that are making life changes and going out in the world and doing what they like. That's one thing that's coming out of COVID. People have had an awakening. And luckily and fortunately, and since the day we met, you've been doing what you like since day one. And it's an amazing track record. Not just the radio end, the performance end, the film end, the show end, and it's all your passion. I know you a long time now. This is your passion. So how did it kick off? How do you go from being a college kid to saying, I want to do this and staying with it?
Thank you, Tom. So I have to go back a few years, right? It's been a little while since I was a college kid.
Last week, right? Last week.
With this filter, sure.
Right,
yes.
Right, absolutely.
I graduated from Montclair State University with my degree in broadcasting. I was doing some acting at the time. Soap operas were really popular. It was great to pick up work, right? ABC TV and doing theater, and felt like, well, I've got this great broadcasting degree, and I fell in love with radio when I was in college. That's when I discovered radio. I should put it to good use. And I honestly like cold called radio stations in the area to see job openings. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's been a few years. I know times have changed completely, and that's maybe not the way it goes, but that's honestly how it happened for me.
So you went door to door, you knocked on doors.
Basically. I did. Yeah. The thing, like, you know, in that time too, they would tell actors never go knock on an agent's door or a casting director or anything. You weren't supposed to go knock on a door, you know, for a program director at a radio station. So I called. I would never be so brave right now. I don't know.
Is there somebody you throw it to? Is there somebody that like gave you the break that you always remember?
My first job in broadcasting was with Shadow Traffic. And
oh, wow.
There was a name, yeah, Bernie Spigner, who has since passed. Just beautiful, beautiful person. I gave him my tape and he listened to my voice. And I kind of said, do you have anything like I meant like working around the office? I just wanted to get in. He said, you got a really good voice. He's like, you should really be on the air. He's the one who orchestrated that, kind of gave me a break for getting on the air. And then it picked up from there. There was the next giant break huge, life-changing, was when I worked at Q104. So it's Q104.3 in New York.
Right, and then you were the rock jock, right? You were rock jock. I remember that. Right.
It went from classic music to New York's pure rock. Bob Elliott was the program director. He's the person I went directly to. They had heard my voice because I was doing traffic reports for them, but I met him at a party for Q104, like a big launch party for the station, you know, and expressed my interest and was given a morning show co-host position. And that's how it took off.
You know, what's amazing to me, Christine, is that, and I know this to be true, not only personally, but in terms of people that I know, radio is a very transient business. And by that, I mean, you don't have the good fortune. It's very rare, I should say, to have the good fortune to be able to stay in one market. Usually it's like you got to go from Wichita to Santa Fe, New Mexico and yet when I was reading your bio, I was thinking, wow, every single one of these is New York, which is fascinating. How are you able to accomplish that? I mean, you know, because stations change formats and, you know, people, management moves. And the next thing you know, somebody new comes in and they want you out and tastes change. So what do you attribute that to?
And I've been through that, Bob. I've been through a couple of changes and people's tastes changing and I'm out and somebody new is in. I've honestly just been really, really fortunate. I've met some wonderful people, and have great working relationships with them and they believe in me. So even when there were periods where I was out of work, they were saying, no, we're going to find something for you. There's got to be something for you. And, I was very fortunate that openings would happen as I was available because I,
timing. It was about timing.
It's all about time. Isn't life all about timing? But, you know, an opening would be there and I was ready to go. And I was very, very lucky. Yeah. And, you know, and there are people who have worked all around the country and they love that too. You know, like right. That's okay too. Just that I grew up in this area. I've always been New York and New Jersey. So I'm most comfortable here.
Yeah. But this also, you're acting, right? If I remember correctly, acting wise, you started off in your favorite local little playhouse.
Playhouse on the Mall.
That's it. Playhouse on the Mall. Right. So, I couldn't remember the name.
Really local. It was an Equity house, though. You know,
really? That's a big deal.
Yeah. Not that I was Equity at the.
You started off in little parts and moved up.
Yeah. This was another, you know, like, hey, if you got anything, because I love theater so much. And it was at the Bergen Mall. And I wish we protected things like our theaters and these beautiful old stores and everything. It's long gone, but it was a great opportunity. There was really wonderful theater taking place there. And again, being so close to New York City, a lot of things, they could try them out in New Jersey and then move over to New York. So I was meeting great working actors in New York and casting directors and directors.
I noticed in your bio, your brother's a musician, writer, musician. Where did the creativity, your brother and you both are very creative people and motivated people. Where did that come from?
So, Bob, I unfortunately lost my brother not too long ago. He had leukemia. Charles, incredibly talented. Both of my brothers, really Charles talented. And Stephen, are both really, really funny guys, like the sense of humor in our family. And it's how we've gotten through all these incredibly difficult times.
Sure.
But I think kind of like coming from my mom's side, my mom loved painting. She loved art.
Wow.
And brought me into Manhattan all the time. I spent a lot of time in museums. I was just surrounded by art. Charles he was 9 years older than me and loved music and was one of those people where I don't have this gift, could pick up an instrument and play it. Like he was an amazing guitar player. Any string instrument, he seemed like, even the violin we had from my grandfather, picked it up and was somehow able to play, which is not easy at all. I think that's like one of the toughest.
Violin is a very tough instrument to play.
Yeah.
Very tough.
Yeah. It's kind of maybe from my mom's side, maybe there's a little bit of a gene code happening there that we love the arts. And for me, the way it expressed itself was really through theater and film through the visual arts.
Yeah, because you've picked some tough industries and you've done, you know, the thing that fascinates me is when you say radio, theater, film, television, all of those are very difficult to get in. And you actually have gotten into all of them. Christine, let's talk a little bit about your approach. You know, I know for me personally, you know, there are jobs that I've been able to get as a result of me saying, someone says, well, would you like to? And I go, yeah. And I don't know if I can do it or not, but I would do it anyway. So that willingness, let's talk a little bit about that. Do you have the willingness?
That's it, Bob. I think that's the secret. Just say yes. Just say yes. I've said yes to everything. Tom, when I said yes to Tony and Tina's, they asked me if I was comfortable with improv. And I said yes. And then I was like, I'm scared out of my mind. I've never done this. You know, but you will, right, Bob? You will rise to the occasion. You will. You're not going to let yourself.
Yeah. Well, and I think
that have you seen this recently with anybody you interview?
Yeah. And I don't have his name off the top of my head. He's the he put together Immersive Van Gogh. He's the creative director, which is a beautiful.
I've heard it's a great exhibit. Yeah,
he's incredible, and he's somebody who's, you know, he did the interior design for Bond 45 in New York, a restaurant, and then he worked with Lady Gaga and Kanye West, and now he's done the sets for Mrs. Doubtfire and Hamilton. And I said the same thing to him. How did all of these things happen? Because they don't seem related. And he said, I just say yes. I just always say yes. And I thought, that's what I do. And Bob, that's what you do.
Well, but it is, it's phenomenal. To me, it's hard to imagine, because when I'm on the set as an actor, when I would be on the set, I would look around and I would see what everybody was doing. And I'd kind of go, oh, that's interesting. And I would pay attention. And in fact, in some cases I'd go, oh, you know, and if I remembered from a previous shoot, I'd go, what if you move over there? And so a producer, in one particular case, a producer came to me, she goes, have you ever thought about directing? And I go, no, but I should, I guess, huh? And she goes, yeah. And the next thing I know, she calls me up and she goes, I've got a project I want you to direct. And I did it. And then somebody would see that work and they'd say, I'd like you to do this and I'd like you to do that. And it sounds to me like that's kind of like how your career has gone. If you do a good job, people notice. Am I right?
Yes.
I mean, look, I mean, Tom and I, the reason I continue to work with him is I like working with him and I like what he does. And and one of the keys to success, as far as I'm concerned, is surrounding yourself with other people that are good at what they do. And that will help. That will only help you.
Right. Like-minded, supportive people. Doesn't mean that you have everything in common, but when it comes to work, something magical takes place and you respect each other and support each other. And again, you know, allow each other the space to be who you are. And this saying yes, when the Martha Stewart thing I told you earlier, you know, I declared I'm going to work for you. I had never hosted a show by myself. You know, I was part of Z Morning Zoo. I was a co-host. I was never the front man. Right. And when they asked me if I was comfortable hosting shows, I said, yes, no, inside, no. But yeah, something in you is going to take over and make sure that you're going to do this. I mean, you've got the know-how, you've been around it. Like you said, you've been observing people. You're going to do it. You're not going to let yourself crash and burn.
Yeah.
You'll step up and do it.
And you grow and you grow with every experience. You learn something new, a new skill. Yeah.
Right. And that feels so good. That's what feels to me like an accomplishment. Like, oh, I can host my own show. Look at that. I can do that. I can take calls and I can interview somebody and I can give away prizes and come up with questions. And that's a very empowering feeling.
And if you like it, you do it.
Do it.
Better.
That's what I say. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. What's your inner drive? Can you describe what your process is when you think about, oh, okay, when I get up today, what am I going to do? You know, how do you approach life?
Well, first it starts with a lot of coffee. This I know.
Well, that's what I need every morning. Give me a double espresso and I'm good to go.
Right?
No,
that's lightweight. Christine's an Olympiad. You don't understand.
Christine's what does she do? A pot of coffee?
Drinker. Oh my God.
For some right now, actually. Yeah. Love coffee, right? So yeah, coffee to get the brain going. But I think I've always felt like this is my heart and soul is in performing.
So it's but that organic. Really,
yeah. Like I remember telling my parents, I distinctly remember telling my parents, I was 2 years old and I said, I'm going to be an actress. And they went, okay.
Great. That's the natural reaction from mom.
Right? Like, oh,
okay. Well, but maybe- when I first met you, we first became friends, you were doing radio all morning. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you were doing 5 on-stage shows.
Yeah. Tony and Tina.
And it was Tony and Tina's, which she was Tina, which is very grueling because you're on almost for 2 hours solid every show. Mm-hmm. So how did you juggle that experience?
Coffee.
Yeah, it's always coffee. But
that's a coffee, isn't it? The pure love and joy that I have for it. Wow. I mean, absolutely. It's my happy place. Theater is my happiest place on the planet. I love it. And then behind the microphone, radio, creative. I love the, you know, I didn't really get into the heavy news side of it or even TV news when there were opportunities there at one point.
You had heavy interviews though. Your interview list is amazing.
Oh, thanks.
Which ranges from Madonna to who's the most recent, or Lady Gaga at one point, right?
No, Gaga. This hurts me. Put this out there just because she's listening. Because
you want to interview Gaga.
Yeah, because I want to interview her. She supposedly, my understanding is, used to listen to Z100 when I was on the morning show and used to record it.
Oh, that's so, what I'm thinking. I thought you, okay.
Yeah. Wow. And then, so when she came up to the station at Z100, which is a sister station, and I'm, you know, now working Light FM, she was like in tears that she was meeting her favorite morning show people. And it was like, could somebody just tell her I'm down the hall?
Down the hall, because I was there.
Like, once you get to Lady Gaga level, there's, you know, 12 people. She's not just going to walk by and say hi. You've got to get them across.
But if I remember on the Madonna end, didn't Madonna hear you and request you? Which I thought was mind blowing. I thought it was like it was like being anointed by the Queen of England.
That was.
How did that happen? Exactly. I don't remember how that happened exactly.
She was listening to Z100 as well. Incredibly popular station. And the guys went to interview her. And I think Madonna's very much into where's the woman on the show? You know, I don't know how to put it, you know, just empowering women and recognizing women. Right. And so she wanted me to be part of the interview. So then I was part of her interviews, but it wasn't until just a couple of years ago, obviously in the before times, before COVID, where Cubby, who is now my co-host, who I love and adore, where we were requested to go interview her face-to-face in our theater. And it was, you know, it was on the internet. That was like live.
Right.
What's the terminology for it when the whole world can tune in and see it live? Like,
wow.
Streaming.
It's the only way you can do it. Yeah. You've got that drive, but these industries are not receptive, especially
tough times too. How do you get through the tough times?
Yeah. So how do you mentally and physically keep from letting it win? How do you overcome all of that?
The hard times?
Yeah, well, just the difficulty factor, if you will. You know, because first of all, being a woman and being in radio is kind of a relatively new thing, mm-hmm. I think, you know, because all the people that I knew were all men, especially morning stuff. It was they would always, you know, be men or whatever, comedy teams, things like that, you know, that they would bring in. But how are you able to do all that? What do you think it is that you bring to the table?
I believe there's a strength in being true to who you are. Okay. So I feel like, you know, when you talk about radio and you think of it as quote unquote tough, and people I found seem to associate tough with being loud and not afraid to make fun of people or be on the attack. And that just was never my thing. It never will be my thing. And it's okay for everybody. I mean, you know, I'm a huge fan of so many people in radio who have a much quote unquote louder voice than I do. I love to hear them, but that's not me. And fortunately, as you said, like it's newer, but there, I feel like one woman doesn't have to represent every woman on radio anymore. There's more and more roles opening up for women in management, you know, at our own company at iHeart. Thea Mitchum is amazing and very supportive, and on air. So it's almost like I held true to who I was, and then the doors, and it took a while, but they started to open to say like, yeah, it's okay to be you. You don't have to be one of the guys necessarily. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to be abrasive.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's associated with radio, but a lot of times it was.
Well, because they're iconic. They're individuals through the years that have demonstrated, you know, that they've demonstrated a level of success as a result of that kind of behavior. So it's just sort of associated.
Yeah, you were never a shock jock. They were shock jocks.
No, in fact, when I was looking at the bio and I saw the Morning Zoo, I mean, Morning Zoo is a, you know, catchphrase. It's like, it's not just one particular show. It's just the genre.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like, okay, so Morning Zoo, everything's Morning Zoo. And that's just, you know, I mean, okay, fine, whatever, you know, but the fact that you can go and do it and have fun, that's in my mind, is that's just, it's awesome.
There's there's something I want to acknowledge because I think it's going to surface as a real important part of Christine's career that people may have forgotten now, but it's going to surface. And I really believe someday it's going to surface like in a Ken Burns documentary. After 9/11, Christine stayed on the radio.
Oh, you were on that day?
Radio for like 24 hours straight. Or something amazing, and turned it into a New York pep rally. And I remember listening on air where it was basically, she would say, New York, we're going to get through this. We're New Yorkers, New Jersey, Connecticut, we're all in this together. Like, she threw this pep rally on the radio, which someday, like, I know somebody's going to acknowledge it as part of a sign of the times and assign it as, you know, from September 11th to September 15th, which were the darkest, horrible times in New York. But Christine, you were a ray of light and energy. Can you talk about that experience? Because I'll never forget listening to those radio shows.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. It's like, you know, I was with Elvis at Z100 at the time, who was handled it beautifully and really was a leader and helped rally that, hey, this is scary, but we need to go back and we need to get back on the air, and called us and said, who's with me? So on the day of September 11, we were on air. We were the tallest building in Jersey City at the time, which means we had a bird's eye view of
ground zero
morning. Yeah. and at that point, that was bigger than us, you know, because we are Z Morning Zoo and we weren't hard news. Switched over to ABC News. So it got a national news feed. We had to get home, take care of our loved ones, and then decide if we were going back, because of course there was a lot of fear. And again, tallest building, Jersey City, and all these different targets. And we said, no, we want to go back. We like, this is it. Like, this is where we felt like we could make a difference and connect with people and help people on a completely different level. So we went back the next day, and Tom, we did stay on very long hours for at least a week. And we were actually using the airwaves to help coordinate people who couldn't find their loved ones, nurses who were working 24/7 and at the point of exhaustion, but didn't have a ride home. You know, we were putting out calls on the radio. They were calling us and speaking on air, and we were able to get crews over there to help them. Sometimes our own people, like, you know, our own station vehicles to help people. It was just absolutely, absolutely amazing that we could in some small way be a part of trying to help and trying to help people heal. So that's something that we can never completely, I don't know how you completely heal from something like that, but that's anytime something is going on, and there's been so much going on, you know, I just feel the importance of that we are in a really special place, that we do have a voice, that it is public, and that we can help. And we can say, you are not alone. We're feeling this. We're going through it with you. Like, stay strong, you know, all through this pandemic. a lot of our listeners, a lot of the people who stayed with us, because folks' schedules changed and they're maybe not listening to the radio as much. A lot of the people staying with us have been the healthcare workers and the essential workers, the people going to the supermarkets, and, you know, anything we can do to help them get through this and get through their days and take care of their loved ones, I'm more than happy to do.
And you've been, you've always been like that. You've always done that. But it, to me, these were historical moments that you became the community voice. And I really loved it. Yeah. I really loved how you took the medium and ran with it.
How long have you been doing radio, Christine?
It's over 25 years.
So you've seen a huge transformation in terms of the technology, the platforms, all that. What are your thoughts on the future of radio? I mean, how do you, where do you see it going? You see much more change, or do you think it's going to pretty much that it's settled into what it is now, which is the streaming and all of that? Yeah. Or do you think it's going to get even more complicated?
That's all part of it now. That's something that you incorporate into doing the show. You know, there's the social and the visual has become really a huge part of it. But radio has also, it's having a little comeback, if you will, not that it ever went away.
But yeah, it's got to be exciting for you because this is the time.
Right. People coming back to their schedules and getting into their routines again, you know, it's an honor to be part of someone's routine like that and to be their friend and to be their voice and that they feel free to call and share with us. It's absolutely amazing. I've made good friends through radio because people have gotten in touch with me and we just relate to each other so well. So I think that's what it is.
So when you say that, you mean like the callers, you mean like the listeners. You're not just talking about employees. You're talking about you become friends with listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get to, know you. They think you guys, they probably think of you as being their best friend. And so they figure it's like if they hear you every day, it's one of those things where, oh, that's Christine. She's a pretty, you know, if they saw you on the street, would they know who you are? You know, maybe not. But if they do.
I've seen that in action.
Oh, is that, do you have your face on the side of buses in New York?
I don't.
Oh,
but they know her. Christine has gone shopping and they talk about it on the air the next day.
Oh, is that right?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's, that's the goal, isn't it? Like to be the friend to the person who's listening. That's our whole goal. That's been my mission. I just want to be your friend. I just want you to know you are not alone. And any crazy thing you're going through, chances are like I've been through it or someone in my family, we've just been through a lot together. I feel like the listeners and I are friends. We've been through a lot together and that relationship is so, so important.
You know, at the same time, still,
yeah, go ahead, Tommy.
You're still tackling great scripts, acting roles. Recently, you know what I'm going to talk about.
What's that?
She's in a short film called The Dance. The Dance is winning awards in film festivals. It's directed by one of our mutual friends. She started off as a play that started off as a one-act play.
Was this one that you developed?
No, this is all them. This is her and my friend AJ Ciccatelli.
Oh, no, that's what I mean. Did Christine you develop this?
Well, through that theater company she did. Yeah, through Quistrada.
Wow.
Yes, with the theater company. So Tom is an incredibly talented writer and performer himself. He's a great, great actor. But his writing is beautiful. And again, Tom knows some incredible people and he's been generous enough to introduce me to these people. And Tony, AJ Ciccatelli is somebody who I call my soulmate. We met each other. This is Tom's friend. And it was like, where have you been my whole life? Like we're almost each other. He's just a male version. I'm the female version. We have so, so much in common. And he wrote this play called The Dance and it struck a chord with me. It's a beautiful piece about love and a love that should have been, couldn't, for so many reasons. And again, reasons like I was relating to, and I feel like other people would relate to. We put it up in Manhattan. Thanks to AJ, started a non-for-profit theater company called La Strada Ensemble Theater in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And then we started producing films from some of the plays that they were adapted into films. And that's what Tom's referring to. So the dance is just one. I mean, they've got a bunch.
True. They have a bank, right?
Awards.
Yeah. The dance is the one that
fantastic team
is still making the circuit rounds and still, mm-hmm. I think, just won at the Block Island Festival. They won Best Short Film at several festivals. Wow. And several festivals throughout the United States. And it's just really basically Christine and another actor.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that.
So her talent, her talent as an actress, we love the radio because we deal with her every day and we hear her every day and she's our wake-up call. But her acting is phenomenal. She's always been phenomenal. Right. And
I look forward to see. I look forward to seeing it because I would love to you know.
So if you're out there and you're listening, ring her phone and get her a script.
Yeah. So here's I'd like to jump to something that just caught my eye when I read the bio. Tell me about hooking up with Christine Nagy. How did that come about?
Those were fun days. Those were fun days.
Yes. This is, like I said, humor really important to my family because I think, again, we've been through it and it's humor that's gotten us through. So we just love comedy and we love stand-up comedy. When I was working at Z100, I became friendly with Greg Charles. He's the publicist for Caroline's on Broadway. And I met Caroline Hirsch and we became friendly. And Lewis, who books these great acts, and would just go as a fan of comedy and the comedy club. And then I think Lewis and Greg, understanding that I was doing theater and I do love to do, I end up in a lot of heavy stuff, right, Tom? A lot of the shows I do.
Oh my God, heavy drama, really heavy. Your thing.
But I love comedy. So.
There you go.
Which doesn't mean I'm a comedian, though. That's the big thing, right? They said, well, you know, you love comedy. Why don't you do something here? Not a stand-up comedian. I would never dare to even try. I think that, to me, is like, that's the bravest, scariest, biggest thing, really putting yourself out there because you're not really behind a character, right? It's you. But my brother and I wrote the show together as like a dating show. I thought, well, I can't really do stand-up. But Charles was really clever. He would help me and we would write like just like 5 minutes in the beginning.
Right.
Which takes longer than you think. 5 minutes, right?
No, no.
Material. And then we would do like a dating theme and introduce people. We had contestants in the audience and kind of made it like a live dating show. So that's how I got to be on stage at Caroline's.
And it was never scripted. It was always curveballs because they basically were, she did put people out on dates in the end. Like they would interview each other and one of them would be the center one who would make the choice. Mm-hmm. And people ended up going out on dates because of Christine's show.
So it sort of had the same kind of like the dating game in terms of structure or?
No, imagine a dating game without anybody knowing they're about to be on the dating game. That's mm-hmm. the crazy part. People would say, oh yeah, I'll participate. And next thing, it's one person, it's kind of a dating game structure where they're interviewing each other, but then Christine would interview them both as a couple, I think, mm-hmm. right? If I remember right?
Yeah, and then we would end it with, like, after they've gotten to know each other a little bit, right then and there, kiss, shake, or hug.
Kiss, shake, or hug, I forgot
that. I love that.
Both went in for a kiss, or they both went for a handshake, or they went for a hug. And then we would do like a couple of couples and let the audience decide at the end of the night who would go on a date.
Oh,
yeah.
And then there could be a follow up to that. And there also like
there was a couple of follow ups. I remember distinctly because I would go in there just to watch the show. I never was a participant. I watched the show.
Sometimes we had like celebs.
They did have celebs. I forget who, but
friends
for
theater.
Also, and then you kind of became the host that you would host in between the comics at the same time too.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, so it also had comics doing stand up. It was a great night. Like full like boat of comedy club.
Sounds like
you were into comedy club and Caroline's was hot at the time.
Yeah, we had comedians.
Listen, you like get a few drinks in your audience and you can
But then, right, Christine, we had Ed Norton was one of the comics before he
Jim
popped.
Norton, I love him.
Jim Norton, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Jim Norton before he became huge was one of Christine's comics on a regular basis. That's where I first met him. And then it was through that show.
Wow.
Yeah,
it was great. It was a great time. It was different. It was a different end of the comedy revolution at the time. So you could do those.
Mm-hmm. And then
there was a time I was fortunate enough. I think like spur of the moment, you know, when comedians want to try stuff out, they're like, I've got some material. Can I go on? The person asking was Chris Rock. It was like,
I forgot about that.
You can go on. And I got to intro.
Forgot about that. Yeah.
That was like an honor. And Dave Chappelle was incredible. He was at Caroline's at that point. And it really was great.
Now, we also have a mutual interest. We because we love acting, we love good acting classes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the reasons we met. Can you talk about the influence of your acting coach?
Anthony Aitken? Just like my everything? Just incredible. He's I only studied with him privately because my hours have always been so strange because of radio. And I get up so early in the morning, do my thing early, and kind of am fading out by the end of the day. So I would study with Anthony Apeson in the afternoon. And when I landed the role in Tony and Tina's Wedding, he said, oh, you got to talk to this guy. He was just in Tony and Tina's. He can help you. He can school you. He can get you ready. And it was Tom. Became friends, and it's all thanks to Anthony Apeson. And Anthony is another person who allows you to be yourself. Like I said, you know, in radio, stay true to who you are, whatever your quote unquote technique is acting wise, however you get there, as long as it's honest, that's what he encourages. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I worked with him. And he's just been amazing.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because Tom and I have had numerous conversations about actors and writers and whatnot, that generally their biggest problem is they get in their own way, and it really does impact their career negatively. So, you know, having that organic, I mean, wouldn't you agree that being true to yourself is probably the best attribute that you could have, right?
Yes, as far as like a performer, especially. Yeah. I mean, with this getting in your own way thing, I see happen to people quite a bit, and it's frustrating to see it happening to other people. If it's happening to me, I need somebody to call me out because I want to know. So I stop, but I do see it with other people who are amazingly talented. And you're kind of like, why isn't this person famous? The world should know about this person. They're so incredible. But yeah, sometimes there's a little self sabotage. I'm sure it's nothing we do deliberately. But, you know, this trying to keep away from falling into like the real negative traps, like when things aren't going well, and it's not easy, but trying like to remind yourself, this is not forever. Yeah. It isn't forever. You will work again and you will find the place that you fit in. Whenever I've been stuck, I honestly just take a step back and go, okay, life, I don't know. Just show me, what am I supposed to be doing? And that's kind of like allowing it to happen. And I'm thinking of like when I started working for Martha Stewart.
I was just going to ask you about let's talk about how you got involved with that.
That's an example of kind of what I was saying. I was out of work at the moment and she was being released from prison. And they did like breaking news, you know, they walked Martha out of prison and she had an announcement ready to go because she was going to leave the prison experience behind her and move on. And her announcement was, I'm going to have a radio channel at Sirius Satellite Radio. And I looked at the TV and I said out loud, I've got to work for that channel. I'm going to work for you. I didn't even know how to cook.
That's an amazing approach.
I am going to do that.
And then didn't that lead to you covering Broadway? Because another one of Christine's big passion is not just being a performer, a radio person. She loves Broadway. She hosts in Bryant Park, right? It was a Broadway.
Oh, Bryant Park. Yeah, that's a live event that we do with Light FM. And I have a podcast called Inside Broadway with Michael Riedel, who had been, he had been
Critic, right?
For many years. And now
he's Post Critic, right?
So I'm kind of like, you know, I know I sound really geeky, but I love theater that much. So like any aspect of it, whether I'm on stage, behind the scenes, whatever it is, I just want to support it as much as I can.
But that also came from Martha through Sirius, right?
No, that came through Light FM.
Oh, really? Okay.
Very, very involved with Broadway. So yeah, that was like a very happy coincidence.
I think it's important to be a fan of whatever, you know, area medium that you're involved with, because if you're a fan, then you're just there's your energy is just so positive. It comes across. People are going to go, I like her. Let's use her. She's great. Let's, you know, because you're a fan, you know, and then because you enjoy it. That's the one thing I've always, you know, in fact, I have to tell you that your career, I'm looking at, I'm going, she's done more than I've done. And I've done a lot of different things over the years. So I applaud you for that.
Oh, thank you. This isn't.
But now it brings us to light, to today. Right. Talk about light, and then I have a question to ask you after that. But light and the team, because you guys for a long time ago head to head with your former radio show Zoo, right? Z Morning Zoo. You would go head to head with Howard Stern at a time, and you're still standing because those are two icons, right? Z Morning Zoo's our icon, and Stern's an icon. And you're still standing, and you're also in the lead in New York right now. So can you talk about light a little bit?
Well, yeah, I would say because there's room for everybody. So that's why
I'm going
back to the theme of you know, everybody says it now. I'm going to do me, you do you. Do you. Like, just really, really. because they're Light FM is such a, it's like an iconic station in New York. So Tom, like, I'm lucky, like, I walked into a beautiful situation. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's. But you also have really amazing. You've always had amazing co-hosts, but now you're really like, you got Cubby, you guys are like a threesome in a magical kind of way on radio.
Thank
and it's,
you.
It's really interesting to listen to.
It's, we are so, so happy. So yeah, they created a morning
show. I got to mention Jamie too. I'm sorry. I cut off Jamie. It's Cubby and Jamie.
I was going to talk about Jamie because we love her. Yes. But yeah, there wasn't like a full on morning show at Light when I came into it. And I was kind of like, what am I going to do here? Because, you know, it's like, it's yours, build it. So that's an unbelievable opportunity. So it's evolved over the years, and Cubby, who used to work at Z100, I mean, this is great for people who are listening in New York, you know, they'll understand. He was at Z100 in the afternoon. I was on the morning show. We were friendly, but we never did a show together. Over time, they decided to put us together just before the pandemic. And it was like, again, Tom, it was like me meeting AJ. Where have you been my whole life? It's like Cubby and I are just, he should be my brother. Like, we're just so close. He's such a beautiful, loving, kind, giving person. And again, I feel like that comes across. So he allows me to be me. And I am happy that he is him. And our producer is Jamie, who is beautiful and joyful and funny. And she has a passion for radio, which is kind of rare because she's younger. Like, not everybody comes up wanting to do radio anymore. You know, she just loves it. And she's worked with like Don Imus. I mean, she's young and she's worked with all these icons. And the three of us together are just, we're really happy together. And I think maybe that joy comes across.
So if a young person came up, tugged on your coat and said, I want to do what you do. How do I do it? What do you say to them?
Internships would be the best way. I know it's sounds a little old school, but it really is the best way to get in and learn about radio. And once you get in there, see where it is that you fit in and what you really want to be doing, because there's so many ways to contribute. So I think if you have a passion for it and you express that, people are going to be so happy. Because like I said, it's rare now. It's a little more rare that somebody is just like, I just want to do radio. You know, there's usually something else that they want to do, and that's fine. But we love
people. So to bring it around, Christine, do you wake up with a smile? No, because this is our thing. People are going, the people we're interviewing go to jobs they want to do.
Yes.
And we hardly, you know, up until this great awakening, really, people didn't focus on that. You're doing this. You're another one of my great favorite people that does this. Do you wake up with a smile, and do you have any advice for someone who's not?
I am, again, I feel like very, very lucky, very fortunate, and I am very grateful that I do. The hardest thing is the wake up call, because it is at such a weird time. So once we get past that and the coffee, I do wake up with a smile. I do look forward to talking with Jamie and Cubby. I love doing the show. I just get so much joy out of doing the show. And then when we get feedback, you know, if we put out a question and people text in or they call and they're, it's like, okay, it's translating. It's, we're not just talking and entertaining each other, Cubby Jamie and me. People are in it with us. So we're all friends together. We're all doing the same thing. That's why radio is so special, because it's immediate and it's personal, you know, we don't, and local. We can talk about very New York right now, very holiday oriented things, whatever it, whatever's happening around us, we can talk about, and we can bring that to the show and share it.
Do you think that COVID created a greater sense of community?
It did for me in that I got to know my neighbors. This sounds so funny. I know you're not being that specific. I know you mean it more general, but like, if you really break it down, I didn't know the names of my neighbors until COVID. I knew like, hi, bye. I do think so. I think, well, especially, you know, we talked about after September 11,
right.
We talked about that earlier. Didn't you really feel that, Tom, in New York, where everybody,
especially in New York,
other, just looking out for each other, just everyone. And you felt so grateful for anyone who was.
You're lucky to be alive. You felt lucky to be alive. You felt.
I think that was universal. Even you know, because I was out here when that happened, and I have to tell you, you know, we all felt it, and that's really a true sense of community when everybody shares in the same feelings. What haven't you done that you would love to do?
I want to do more movies.
Well, and if you do exactly what you did when Martha Stewart came out and had her press conference, and you will. If you say, I want to do more movies, it'll probably happen.
Well, here's the personal thing.
More commands.
So, New York might be Christine's boyfriend, but, you know, LA is her side gig. She loves Los Angeles, and she's a Hollywood historian buff.
Really?
And a huge Marilyn fan.
Yeah.
So she put it out there. She loves to visit in L.A. and would love to work in L.A. as she goes back and forth.
Well, no, Tom, you can't say it. She has to say it.
I have to say it. There
you go. You get up in the morning and say, I love L.A. and I would love to work in L.A. And it will happen. All right. Well, okay. If we're playing games here, then let's get out the spinner and let's see what we've got for Christine and the question, what would you like? And I see what happens here. Maybe we'll actually, we're spinning the wheel. So the question that just came up is, if you could be a superhero, what superhero would you be and what powers would you have?
I mean, like, the no-brainer is Wonder Woman, of course.
And why?
Well, she's strong physically, and she has a beautiful heart. At least the last, the Wonder Woman movies, the last couple of ones, we see the heart of Wonder Woman, right? How much she cares, and she wants to protect and save people. Yeah. So, her superpower of her beautiful heart and her strength, and, you know, the invisible plane, so I don't have to deal with Lincoln Tunnel traffic. That would be great.
You're already there. You just put on the outfit and go. I mean, when we look at the bio, it's like, as far as I'm concerned, you are already are Wonder Woman. So, you know, enjoy. And I certainly look forward to seeing Christine Nagy out in LA doing all of those things at some point. I think it would be fantastic, you know. And it's funny, you were throwing accolades at Tom. Tom and I have worked together on a number of projects, so you don't have to sell me on the Kavanaugh effect. I know about that.
You know all about this.
And our conversations, AJ, you know, comes into him all the time, and all of the things that he's. So, you know, I've heard all those stories, so I'm very familiar with it. That the community that you guys have out there is phenomenal. I've got it here, but, you know, Tommy and I keep saying we got to have lunch. So, you know, maybe all three of us will have lunch in LA one day.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, we will. Yes. So, Christine, for whoever's listening, how can they What's your websites? What's your social?
Yeah.
Now can I hear you on the air? Because you are streaming light streams, right?
Yeah. Yes, we do. That's iHeart. So if you have the iHeart Radio app, you can hear Light FM. You can catch the Inside Broadway podcast there on iHeart Radio.
Great. I love the Inside Broadcast. The Inside Broadway program. Really
Thanks.
Good. Really good.
I did also really, really love this project that I just worked on. Brad Forenza wrote and produced and directed Around the Sun, which is a scripted podcast series.
Oh, wow.
And so I did a original play with B.D. Wong. This was like...
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Pandemic. Yeah. Just B.D. Wong. We're unbelievable to work
Amazing
with.
Amazing talent, right? Amazing talent.
B.D. Wong is a tremendous talent. I mean, you
Isn't
know...
He?
Oh, my God. That's, you know, there's some actors that you... They're just so chameleon-like.
Right,
and he's one of them. No matter what role he embraces, he becomes it, and that's I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, and that is him. And he's got dual roles in this podcast that we do. It's only about 10 minutes long, but it takes you on this incredibly beautiful, very human, very real story. So I'd love to share that. It's called Around the Sun. Is the podcast series on episode 6, Apothecary with B.D. Wong. And I post everything on my social, which is the Christine Nagy. I always feel weird saying that on Instagram, and Christine Nagy Twitter, Christine Nagy Entertainment, Facebook, ChristineNagy.com.
And it's www.ChristineNagy.com, right? One more.
Right, right. So Christine with the C-H, Nagy, N-A-G-Y. Thank you for
definitely.
You've got the Christine Nagy covered all the way across the social media spectrum.
Got it everywhere. I just couldn't get it on Instagram, and we chose the Christine Nagy. And like I said, that I always feel like
it's good.
Way. I humbly say the Christine Nagy.
Well, thank you so much.
It has been a joy and a pleasure.
Wonderful.
Nice. Thank you. This has been an honor. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for listening. Tommy,
Thanks,
it's
everybody.
Good to talk
Thanks,
to you
Bob.
Again.
Thanks
and we you. Will Great do this you. Once again soon. All right.
Yep, we're coming back.